You're listening to a podcast from the Employment, Pensions and Benefits Department of McLeay, Murray and Spence. In this edition, Lindsay Cartwright will be talking about the changes to simplify holiday entitlement. Rosalind James will be dealing with the employment of migrant workers. And Louise Adamson is here to talk about future podcasts. I'm Christine Jardine. I'm joined by Lindsay Cartwright, and we're going to be talking about annual leave. Lindsay, there are about to be changes in the regulations which should make the situation simpler for everyone. Is that right?
That's correct, Christine. The government are implementing their 2005 election manifesto, and the promise that was made there was to give people entitlement to days for public holidays in addition to the 4 weeks annual leave to which they were entitled under the working time regulations.
So how will that affect all of our bank holidays now?
What will happen now is that people will be entitled to 5.6 weeks annual leave with effect from 1st April 2009. This is going to be implemented in two stages. The first 0.8 weeks increase is going to take effect from the 1st of October 2007, and thereafter the second 0.8 weeks increase will take effect from April 2009. There is a specific intention that public holidays are included in this 5.6 weeks. So if somebody is off work on a public holiday, then that can be deducted from the 5.6 weeks.
So will this make it clearer for people who work part-time to calculate what public holidays they're entitled to?
That's correct. As they stand, the working time regulations don't deal with public holidays at all, and employers have been uncertain how to treat part-timers, particularly those who don't work Mondays when most public holidays fall. Because the regulations now deal with bank holidays, there's more certainty for part-timers.
The only other issue is sick leave. Is that affected by these regulations?
Not by these regulations, but the question is before the House of Lords at present, and we'll get a determination on that probably later this year.
When the new regulations come in, if I'm working full-time, I'll get 5.6 weeks holiday a year. If I'm working part-time, I'll get the pro rata proportion.
That's correct. If you work 3 days a week, you multiply 3 by 5.6, and that's the number of days holiday that you're entitled to take.
So are there any limitations on this 5.6 working weeks holiday?
The government have provided a maximum of 28 days, and therefore if you work more than 5 days a week, you would not be entitled to 5.6 weeks. You would only be entitled to 28 days.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. You're listening to a podcast from the Employment, Pensions and Benefits Department of McLeay, Murray and Spence. I'm Christine Jardine, and joining me now is Rosalind James to talk about the challenges facing employers who want to take on migrant workers. Ros, why is this such a big issue at the moment?
Well, Christine, there are increasing numbers of migrant workers coming to the UK all the time, largely as a result of expansion within Europe. The government is concerned about damage which illegal working can cause to good business by undercutting legal workers, for example. And also there are concerns about dangers for the migrant workers themselves through risk of exploitation.
Why is it specifically an issue for employers and not something that perhaps the employee should be responsible for?
Well, in some cases, employees can arrange permission to work themselves, but in other circumstances, it's actually an employer that would have to arrange the permission. For example, a work permit has to be applied for by an employer. The employee can't apply for this themselves. And in addition, the government is placing increasing emphasis on the duty of employers to prevent abuse of the system. So this has led to changes to the law, which are really going to clamp down on employers who either knowingly employ illegal workers or else don't check before they recruit the workers that they do have the appropriate permission to work here.
Is this liable just to encourage employers to avoid taking on migrant workers and perhaps avoid the issue altogether?
Well, perhaps, but that would be a very dangerous position to take, because employers who opt to take that position could be exposing themselves to potential claims of race discrimination. It's very important that to avoid this, they treat all job applicants in the same way and ask them all to produce evidence of permission to work at the same stage in the recruitment process.
If someone suspects that an employee might be working for them illegally, what steps should they take?
This is a bit of a legal minefield, but importantly, they shouldn't panic. First of all, they could check their personnel records to see if they have a copy of something already, which would show whether the person has permission to work. Details of the documents you should be looking for can be accessed via our website. If you don't have something on file, then you could arrange a meeting with the person, preferably at the earliest opportunity, and explain that you do require to see this documentation to check whether or not they have permission to work. And if the documents can't be provided, then this could be followed up with a telephone call to the Home Office helpline. If you think you may have to dismiss the person because they don't have permission to work, then it'd be a good idea to seek some advice at this stage, because it is a complicated area.
That's all from this podcast from McLean, Murray and Spence. But with us now is Louise Adamson to talk about some of the issues that will be coming up in future editions. Louise, what will we be talking about?
Well, Christine, we've got a mix of topics coming up. So we'll be dealing with some bread and butter issues for HR professionals, including absence management, how to handle disciplinary and grievance procedures, and also the right to request flexible working. Then we've got some more unusual topics, perhaps. We'll be dealing with outsourcing for HR professionals and also new legislation on corporate killing, which is currently making its way through Parliament.
I believe you're keen to get some feedback from clients on what they think, though, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We've set up an email address, which is podcasts@mms.co.uk.
Don't forget, you can find out more about the topics we've discussed today and other issues by logging on to the website at www.mms.co.uk/EPB.